Och bara, yeah.
Your name.
Yeah.
I can't remember. I remember. I mean, I did ask for an ordination quite quickly. And I do remember it was at a period of my life where I was feeling very happy. And I was talking to a friend about why I hadn't asked for ordination. And I felt that all my reasons for not asking ordination suddenly didn't make any sense. But my experience of it was that it was like I'd finally got my life a bit stable, and then I was going to start, it's like I was in a little boat and I'd finally got it stable, and suddenly I stood up and started waving my hands around. It was like as soon as I asked for ordination, it kind of caused more turbulence. And my experience of asking for ordination and of moving towards ordination, I do think it's a very, very serious thing. I think asking for ordination is, for me, the most serious thing I've ever done. I think it is very difficult to be serious in a genuine way. Bhante Sangharakshita says that you can't be serious if you want to be serious. So if you want to be serious in the right way, you can't be serious in the wrong way, in a kind of portentous, sort of serious way. But for me, asking for ordination has been very, very serious. It feels serious metaphysically, in the sense in which, and I experienced this more and more as I got towards ordination, that you, it's like you say to reality, okay, I'm going to move towards reality now. And it's as if reality hears you and starts to move towards you. And that creates all kind of turbulence. So I particularly remember it when I got a phone call from Subhuti and he just said, you're in. I said, I'm in what? and he said, oh, you're invited on the course. In those days, it's a 4-month ordination retreat. And in those days, you didn't know whether you were going to be ordained or not. You were invited on the course, and then you might get ordained on in the process of the course. Quite a few people didn't get ordained on the course and came back home. So he said, you're in, you know. And at the same time, he rang a friend of mine who became Karma Bandhu. And Karma Bandhu was jumping up and down in the courtyard saying, it's a goal. He has that kind of background. What I found myself doing, I sat down and I said, God have mercy upon us, Christ have mercy upon us. Which I'm not even a Catholic. I was brought up in the Church of England, which isn't really a church at all, really. Alan Bennett once said, as long as you can organise a tight jumble sale, you're all right. But what my response, I still think my response was right in a certain sense. It felt like, oh, now look what you've done now. You know, you said you want this thing. And of course, when you ask for ordination, it's all mixed up with you want something special to happen, you want a bit of status, you want to get a bit of white thing and a special name, and you want people like this to look at you and think you're rather special. All that's part of it, I'm afraid, because egotism is part of everything, isn't it? It's like sand on a beach holiday, it gets everywhere. In your knickers, in your sandwiches. So everything you do, even the positive things you do, have got the unpleasant texture of egotism in them, even the very positive things we do. And in a way, so it felt like I was asking with, largely a mix of egotistical reasons, obviously, naturally. And then when they said, okay, fine, we'll ordain you, I thought, oh my God, I didn't mean it, all right. Keep your hair on. Crikey. But my sense of God have mercy upon us, Christ have mercy upon us. I even said, I think influenced by T.S. Eliot rather than Catholicism, may the judgment not be too heavy upon us. And what I think I meant by that, looking back on it, is that if you say you're going to move towards reality, if you're going to commit yourself to a spiritual path, you're going to have to really face yourself in your heights and in your depth. You're going to have to enter into situations which you would normally shy away from. So one of the situations I have always shied away from is any kind of conflict. I don't like conflict. I'm not very good with conflict. I don't enjoy it. I instinctively would get away from it and not ever deal with it. I never used to be a very assertive person. And if anything, I just charm people and sort of get round them, if you see what I mean. And one of the things I've had to do since I've been ordained is face a lot of conflict. And I kind of knew that by asking for ordination, I'd have to face all those things that I didn't want to face. And in that sense, I did mean, may the judgment not be too heavy upon us. May the consequences of deciding such a serious thing not be too heavy upon us. Because when you're ordained, you take vows, effectively. Very, very, very serious matter of the sort of utmost seriousness. And I think that that was my main experience in a way, is a sort of sense of my own faults and a sense of the light being shone on those faults more. Mm. I mean, I also saw my strengths more. Mm. One of the things that happens when you're ordained is you up the ante. Mm. So your good actions have a more and more positive effect. Like I can, you know, I know lots of people who come along to the centre now. If I'm in a good state, I mean, if I'm at my best, I can have a really good effect on people sometimes, as much as one can. You can't affect people very much. You can't help people really very much. People, unfortunately, have to help themselves. I have to help myself. But you can do something. And when you're ordained, the consequences of your positive actions have a really good effect. But similarly, the consequences of your negative actions are amplified as well. Mm. So the ante is upped, if you see what I mean. And also for me, loyalty to my teacher. So in Buddhist tradition, a sense of loyalty to one's teacher is very, very important. And Sangharakshita, our teacher, he says some very controversial things that we'd much rather he didn't say. It's a rather controversial, rather difficult figure. And you have to sort of be loyal to that. Or I felt I had to be loyal to that, or understand that, or try to communicate that. And that's at times very difficult. But yeah, I did get ordained fairly quickly. And I did have my sort of perfect, do you want me to talk about my perfect vision experience?
Then I want to talk about upping the ante.
Oh, yes, okay. No, talk about that. So we're in the middle of the ordination retreat. You're privately ordained, and then there's a space before you're publicly ordained. And the private ordination represents you individually pledging yourself to spiritual growth and development. In a way, words like Buddhism and so on can be helpful, but they can get in the way. But what you're primarily doing, what you're really doing, is you're saying, see here, life doesn't work. Ordinary life doesn't work. I try and get what I want, I try and keep away what I don't want. It's never going to work. So how about we try and move towards something that does work? How about, and that path, an ethical path, it's a path of cultivating loving kindness, cultivating courage, cultivating energy. It's a path of human growth. That's what it is. So you're pledging yourself to that. And then on the ordination retreat, it's a very strong retreat. And then I'd written a puja. So tomorrow we're going to be doing this ritual. But I'd written a puja for myself that sort of rejoiced in all my friends of the path, rejoiced in my family, confessed things that I needed to leave behind, apologised to people. And I read this puja at the end, after my private ordination, where I personally pledged myself to make spiritual progress, irrespective of whether anyone else was going to do that. And then I had this experience, very, very briefly, where suddenly everything changed. So I finished the puja, and it was an experience I can't express in words because it didn't have any words in it. But the first thing that happened, as it were, as I was thrown by the brightness of the experience, was a sense of this metaphor of someone just sort of very gently touching my shoulder and saying, you're looking down the telescope the wrong way. Mm. And just turning it round. That all this time, all my life, I've been looking down the wrong end of the telescope and everything had been small and cramped and I'd been very worried about myself and life. And then I suddenly saw this massive vista that sort of included myself, but I was just part of the pattern. There was just this sort of infinite pattern and I was part of it. And everything was kind of perfect. And it was just like I was looking down the wrong end of the telescope and then it closed. The door to that sort of vast experience closed. Mm-hmm. Anyway, just thought I'd tell you.
That's good. Well, it's interesting, even though it's momentarily, it's still vivid. You know, it sounds very vivid.
It's still very vivid for me. Yeah.